A former diplomat is giving an interview in a semi-public part of a Benghazi hotel. The elevator doors open, a man walks out, stays for a moment, then leaves. A few minutes later, he returns, uses a shoeshine machine in the corner, hovers for a bit longer, then leaves again. The ex-diplomat explains.
This one was working in our intelligence. I know him. He's my colleague. Our offices were facing each other. So maybe they will write reports, I don't know. To whom, I don't know. To this new council or to the old regime, I don't know.
Across the East, where people have thrown off Colonel Gaddafi's government, old habits die hard. In Ras Al Hilal, at a vacation house of Colonel Gaddafi's sons, a worker hesitates over a question. A man standing next to him asks, "Why are you scared? Libya's free now." The worker shakes his head. You don't know who's with you and who's against you. In Qasr al-Jadi, a man from Tripoli grants an interview, and moments later at a checkpoint, a self-styled policeman demands to see the video, suspicious of what a potential spy from the capital might have said. Amina, a 33-year-old working mother and graduate student in Benghazi, says it's been this way all her life.
Sometimes if you're talking, sometimes in university or at work, if you're talking about Muammar Gaddafi, if you have got real friends, they will say, "Shh, someone will hear you." So all of us are afraid.
Amina says the fear of being caught by the secret police is ever present. The consequences, well-documented cases of torture and death, led some to join in the spying rather than risk being the victim. The former diplomat says the suspicions and the twisted allegiances forced on nearly everyone have taken a high psychological toll.
This is a kind of our sickness in their brain. We have to refresh the brain and the way to how to treat, how to work, to be clean and to be clear, not to be damaged like before.
Shaking off the suspicion and the damage is a long process, but it has been done before. South Africa and the former East Germany offer two templates of overcoming trauma, but it takes years, perhaps decades, and in Libya it would likely only begin in a post-Gaddafi era. In the meantime, Amina says, people must live with the fact of Gaddafi supporters and enforcers remaining in their midst.
It's hard because they are still some people who believe in Muammar's regime.
Amina recounts how last month a government push to retake Benghazi emboldened Gaddafi supporters in the rebel stronghold. Amina was coming home around noon, her youngest child in her arms.
We are going to enter our house, not from the main door, from back one. And because this door, it's not in the main street, but you can see the main street. You can see the cars. So we've been stopping there, trying to enter the house, and then car came. As soon as they saw us, they started shooting. Because they've got orders to shoot all civilians, women, kids, men, all civilians, whatever. Just shoot. Just kill.
Amina and her family were unharmed, but deeply shaken. She doesn't know who the assailants were, but they could have been anybody, a local shopkeeper, a former policeman, even a neighbor. Given Libya's past and the continuing danger, Amina is proud of what many Libyans have done.
How the revolution happens, I don't know. All of us were saying, no, Libyan people cannot do it. But unfortunately, it happens.
And in amazement, she laughs. Elizabeth Arrett, VOA News, Cairo.